Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth. Josh, I have to say, this week, the truth is out there. Got a really exciting episode that I'm really excited to talk about. It's I feel it was better than the season premiere. I guess it is possible. The season premiere was good, but I think this was better.
Oh yeah, and for those of you that aren't eagle eye viewers of the show, we have some stuff in store for you that you're really going to appreciate.
There is a lot of eagle eyed stuff here, and I made sure to take copious notes here, so I think we're ready to talk about this.
All right, well let's get to it. This was Episode 2, Season 4, Meet the New Boss. Aired September 27th, 2016, written by Drew Z. Greenberg, directed by Vincent Maziano. Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. is back, so tip your hat to the new institution. Make Coulson bow out for Daisy's revolution. Smile and grin at congressmen all around. I hope we can make them pay. Just watch out for me. She thinks you're a ghost today. She'll knock you to the ground again. Vincent Mack, go on a plane. Ghost Rider's got a chain. Oh, yeah, that's true, Roger. Except for the inhuman part, of course, so.
Of course. Except for the inhuman part.
Woo! We're only two episodes in, and I'm already singing. This is a dangerous sign.
Man, I'm warmed up now. That was a great way to get us up. I'm all pumped for this, talk about this episode.
Right, that's right, man. I love rocking out. I do have a little bit of a headache now, so I'm going to let you start us off.
All right, well, this is normally the news section of our show. This is not technically news, but more of a public service announcement to all you agents out there. As you know, I guess kind of going in the theme of meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Just want to make sure all you guys out there are registered to vote this year here in the United States. As a public service, we just wanted to let you know that you can go to vote.usa.gov. You just pick the state that you live in and go from there, and it'll connect you to your local election board so you can make sure that you're registered, or check your registration materials to make sure that you know where your polling place is for this the monumental election here in 2016.
Right. Now we travel a lot, mm-hmm. in the Quinjet.
Yeah.
Right. So what if, you know, what state do I register for if we do that? Because
it's like the Mile High State.
The Mile. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Or it's the
so,
club.
Right now, I'm club. Actually registered to vote on Maveth, so I don't know if that counts, but.
Wow. That's crazy, man.
Yeah. Well, I was there for a while.
Yeah. It didn't seem like that long, but. So. All right. Well, I want to really get into talking about Meet the New Boss, which is, like you said, the second episode of Season 4. Again, I kind of blown away by saying Season 4. That just, yeah. I don't know.
I have to second guess myself when I do it.
Season 4?
It is,
sure.
Though. It's season 4. And it feels like, I think the reason why, and I think I might have mentioned this last week, but each season has not only built on the previous season, but improved. And I would fully expect that this year as well. So,
well, and not only improved, but they really take into account everything that's come before. Other than just kind of abandoned storyline elements, such as the whole Graviton,
sure,
whatever it is.
Yeah, that was back in like episode 2 or 3 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and you know, some stuff where it's like with the Koenigs, like we haven't really continued with them. Pretty much everything that you've seen before can be relevant. Well, I mean, even the stuff that's been abandoned, that stuff can be relevant. Characters that have been on the show previously, going back to the first season and stuff like that. I mean, there's so much that's relevant. And as you mentioned at the top of the show here, eagle-eyed viewers will have seen a lot of stuff in this episode. And I feel like nothing is off limits now. They've got, you know, this huge Marvel Cinematic Universe. We've got new Thor movie coming out. We've got Doctor Strange coming out this year. You know, there's Spider-Man coming out. You've got stuff on Netflix. There's the possibility of all sorts of, not necessarily crossovers, but the Easter eggs that are, you know, available between all the shows, and just things that are referencing other parts of the franchise. So
I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can use, and I don't even want to say Easter eggs, but just references to the Marvel Universe more often and more effectively than really virtually anything out in the Marvel Universe right now. The movies can't really do it in that way because they're not consistently on from week to week.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Netflix series, I feel, have to kind of stay pretty close to the storyline of that main character,
right,
just because they're not as widespread and mainstream as a show that would air on ABC.
Well,
and so I think S.H.I.E.L.D. is kind of embracing that.
Well, the Netflix shows, you know, are really grounded in these heroes that, well, up until, well, I guess Jessica Jones does have powers, but you know, they're street level heroes. They don't go outside of the New York area.
Right.
So they can really only reference and kind of know about stuff that's happening in New York. And then, of course, there's a lot of self-referential stuff, things that are in Daredevil that might relate to Luke Cage or Jessica Jones or to Iron Fist and vice versa and things like that. But the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, you know, we've got characters that have been in the various movies, in Thor and in Iron Man and in Avengers. And so they've interacted with these characters. They travel the globe so they can kind of talk about everything. I mean, they've gone to other worlds and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, like you say, room for them to discuss these different things. So,
yeah.
Well, I wanted to just talk briefly about Meet the New Boss, because every time I hear that phrase, I am reminded of the Who song that we just played, which is not called Meet the New Boss. It's called Won't Get Fooled Again. But the line I think that everybody seems to remember from that is Meet the New Boss, same as the old boss. And I had a professor in college that was trying to explain a phenomenon. It's a state of being called hegemony.
Okay.
Which
hegemony,
I'm not sure if you're familiar with. Basically, it's a, it's kind of a, it comes from the old, ancient Greek word or something like that. It's a political, economic, or military predominance or control of one state over others. And in ancient Greece, it was also a politico-military dominance of a city-state over other city-states. So basically, hegemony means that it's continuity between different states. So Meet the New Boss. You know, this is the new person that I'm working for. Same as the old boss, right? They're exactly the same. It's this continuity. It's also referred to by people in the more vernacular, and I will say it in a kind of a cleaner way, since we are a family-friendly program. Same stuff, different day. That might be the way that people hear it. So it's an interesting way to present this, because we do have a new boss, a new director on the show. But I also look at it as, you know, Ghost Rider, you know, he is kind of, in a vernacular, he's kind of a boss, right? He's a strong guy that is out there to, you know, do things. So meet the new boss. That could also be referring to Ghost Rider. I thought that was interesting usage again of their titles.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, Ghost Rider, you know, you said he's a strong guy, but he's also kind of in charge, you know, kind of a loner right now. But, you know, and by the end, he's kind of hooking up there with Daisy to partner up with the issue that he's having, which we don't know entirely about yet. Right. And so he seems much more like a leader or a boss than a lot of these other people that we've seen throughout the series that have kind of showed up with maybe some powers and human powers or Deathlok or something like that, mm-hmm. where they clearly weren't in charge. They were just kind of out there on their own, you know, trying to get by or get something for themselves, you know, Yo-Yo and I mean, a lot of the people that we've seen in the past. So he does seem much more independent and strong.
And he does have an agenda.
Right, right.
I think he's going to drive Daisy out to the desert. You know, Daisy, I'm kind of a loner. So we'll see that. So my question to you, this question is probably referring more towards the director. Is the new boss the same as the old boss?
Well, depends on who you're thinking is the old boss. Now, at first, you know, my first thought – And I cannot think of Meet the New Boss. That's the title of this, just Meet the New Boss. But I can't think of that line without hearing the Who song, same as the old boss, yeah. right? And so my first thought was, well, Coulson was the old boss, right?
Uh-huh. Right, and that was my thought, yeah.
He was the previous boss. But before right. that, there were some bosses that maybe weren't running the show quite the way us as viewers and, you know, Coulson as ultimate hero guy might think of that, you know, a very bureaucratic, very, I don't know, not necessarily by the book, but not always able to do the right thing because of the bureaucracy.
Are you talking right? like a Talbot?
Yeah, kind of like that, right? Kind of like a Talbot. And I want to say Nick Fury, although a lot of the things that happened that brought S.H.I.E.L.D. down in the first place was on Nick Fury's watch, right? And we saw that in Captain America Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier, yeah.
Yeah. And so what was Robert Redford's character's name in that? It just
Wonder
leaked
Boy?
Out of my head. Sorry. But that kind of boss where maybe not entirely trustworthy – you know, you're not sure if he's truly on our side or there's a hidden agenda. And that's the kind of feeling that I got from old Jeffrey here, which still Jeffrey, come on. nothing wrong with the name Jeffrey. It's just not – and he kept calling him Jeffrey. I don't know.
Jeffrey.
Nothing wrong with the name Jeffrey. I think I've offended Jeffreys out there, so I apologize. Jeffreys, we love you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's interesting because I didn't even really put together the connection to like Alexander Pierce. That was Robert Redford.
There you go. That's who I'm talking about.
Character. But his
connection
boss, but he kind of was. I mean, he was directing Fury. I mean, the World Council too, but him specifically. So that's a really interesting connection there. Because again, I was going for more of a General Talbot, someone we've seen here on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and General Talbot, or even potentially just Nick Fury as the person in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. But Pierce definitely had his agenda that he had S.H.I.E.L.D. working on.
Right. And we don't know exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're going to talk about him, obviously, but I mean, we don't know exactly what's going on. I kept going back and forth throughout the whole episode. Oh, no, I'm not going to trust this guy because he took over for Coulson. And we know that, you know, Coulson was the good guy. So
right.
There's no way we can trust this guy. But then I met him and he's just got that personality. And
he's charming.
Oh, actually, yeah. OK, I can see that. I guess he's an OK guy. Oh, no. Wait, look what he did. Oh, wait a minute. But then he said Coulson It was his idea to replace. So maybe he's not such a. Oh no! Wait, what did he do now with May?
Yeah.
So I kept going back and forth with this guy. I still don't know where I stand.
Well, so I mean, last week we were talking about like what was our opinion of him, and it seemed like everybody was really like pissed at him or afraid of him. And then we meet him this week, and here's this smiling, gregarious kind of guy. He's like, oh, no, I'm not going to get you mad at you. No, fine. You're great. You're awesome. I love you. You know, we've got a PR problem here. This is what we got to deal with. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And it's like,
but and he wasn't. And see, this is what I was afraid he was going to be before we met him here this week. But like the boss in Office Space, where he's like always nice, you know. But he's nice in that smarmy
kind of way,
right? And he wasn't like that. No. I was afraid he was going to be more like that. He was nice when he needed to be, but then when he's talking kind of privately with Coulson, he seemed kind of like a straight shooter.
And he was firm but fair,
right? And that's why I kept and even. Pretty logical, right? I mean, when he said he was taking care of May and wasn't going to let Coulson get involved with it,
yeah,
what he said really did make sense.
Oh, my God. Coulson now, cannot be objective when it comes to those two. Absolutely not. We've discussed this ad infinitum, and I'm glad, as I always am, that characters recognize stuff on the show that the fans talk about. You know, I mean, that just people talk about. And when watching the show, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, in most shows, you're like, I can't believe this person doesn't see this because for plot points or whatever, they can't. But here, you know, it's like people call that kind of stuff out, which is great.
Yeah. And which, like I said, it made sense. But then they turn around and we see a scene at the end that we're like, well, wait a minute. Maybe he wasn't being totally honest there.
I've got something else to say about him because he may not really be totally honest. So there's some other clues in this episode if you know where to look. And I'm sure if you didn't see it in this episode, it's not like they're not going to tell you about it coming up in the future here. But let's just take a quick backtrack. As you mentioned, his name's Jeffrey, which I don't know. What was the quote from Jason O'Mara? It's a very manly name.
Very manly name.
I mean, and no offense to people out there named Jeffrey, but I mean, we were coming up with some, you know, pretty like Brock Rumlow. I think, you know, now granted, that's a bad guy, but that's a really manly name. I mean, that just, you know.
Duke Strongman. That's Duke Strongman. And no offense. I've never felt as if I had a manly name. So it's take no offense, but the stereotypical manly name, really not so much Jeffrey.
But his full name is Jeffrey Mace. Now, a mace is a pretty strong weapon, right? I mean, that's not too bad. Now, how did we get Mace? It wasn't mentioned anywhere in the episode. Well, if you happen to use subtitles, like I do when I'm watching, because sometimes I can't hear stuff on the TV and I got dogs that are howling and stuff like that.
Yeah. I do the same thing just so I don't miss lines that I wasn't sure what they said. And right. Then I can read it.
Well, and when we first meet him, when Coulson finally gets into the office, Jeffrey's off screen and the captions identify the speaker as Mace, colon, and then whatever line it was that he said. So Jeffrey Mace, quick internet search, reveals that he is a character known as the Patriot. That's pretty cool. That's a pretty neat superhero. It's a guy that was hanging out in World War II. He worked with the All Winners Squad, and I think he was also a member of another superhero group during the time. But was one of the original Timely Comics characters introduced, you know, with Captain America and stuff like this. And at one point after the war, a character who was formerly known as the Spirit of 76 took over as Captain America when Captain America disappeared during the war, you know, because he was frozen in the ice. When that Spirit of 76 character died, Jeffrey Mace became the third Captain America during the 1950s. Or excuse me, during the late 1940s, and And then he retired right before 1950. And then I think he got old and aged. So, you know, there's they're not trying to make it, you know, make you say that, okay, this guy was fighting during the war or something like that. But they're using his name as a as an homage to that. And I think also because there was a line that was mentioned towards the end where Jeffrey was saying to Phil that it sounded like they wanted to get Steve Rogers to fill the job, but he'd gone AWOL. So Coulson had wanted to have a powered person put in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they couldn't get Captain America, so they did the second best thing, and they got this guy called the Patriot, who is, well, now, that's his code name.
Now, in the comics, the Patriot doesn't have superpowers, right? He's just like a real athletic, strong guy.
Right. He's very strong like Steve Rogers, except I don't think he took the super soldier serum.
Right. That's what I was thinking, too. So, but in this one, obviously, they can kind of flub that a little bit, especially with the character that old.
Right. And, well, and right. I mean, because it's not – he might have been in some stories – more recently, but it would have been in stories that were that took place during World War II. So it would have been like an Invaders or All Winners Squad or some, you know, comic like that. And they've kind of outed him as an Inhuman. I mean, I kind of saw May going nuts and I'm like, okay, well, Coulson's going to take care of this with his hand. And then that doesn't stop her because, you know, she's that good. And I'm like, okay, I mean, Jeffrey's a pretty big guy, but oh my gosh, he's going to get his butt kicked and takes a couple punches. Now, before he revealed himself as an Inhuman, I had another thought. I don't know what were you thinking about with that? Did you just
quick, you know, microsecond thought, LMD.
Okay. Yep. Because of course an LMD can be programmed to think whatever they want to think. And I'm not ruling that out necessarily because of course he could have been told he was a, Inhuman, and that's why he's so strong.
My second thought after that was, and we talked about this last week, he is Jaime from Get Smart. if you don't remember Jaime from Get Smart, he was this really big secret agent from what was the Get Smart
Control
agency? Control, right. And he was a robot. He was a robot, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was really like polite robot, you know, and anyway, but this after seeing Jeffrey and being how smiley he was and how tall and big he was, and now May can't punch him out. I'm thinking, oh man, they really did make Jaime, but maybe not.
If they had gotten Dick Gaudier, that would have been awesome then, but they didn't. Jeffrey O'Mara. Or, right? Is that?
Yeah. No. What?
It's Jeff O'Mara, right?
Dick Gaudier.
Oh, Jason O'Mara.
Jason. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jason O'Mara plays Jeff Mace, right?
Jaime.
Sorry. Boy, the name's...
Jason O'Mara.
I was going to say that didn't sound right. So, yeah, I'm not really sure what to make of him, though. He seems like he's on the up and up and that he... Even though Coulson is saying... I mean... Everybody else is ragging on him, especially May, because of all the things that are getting implemented, all the security measures, lie detector tests and all that kind of stuff. Coulson seems to almost be an apologist and, you know, it's like, that's not that big a deal or whatever, which I think is probably because Coulson is on the inside and maybe nobody else knows that Coulson had a hand in picking this guy. That's my thought. And you also had a note here, who else knows he's an Inhuman?
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, because they didn't really broadcast that in the show at all until he had to confront May and
right.
stop her. So I'm wondering how many people actually know he's Inhuman.
I would say Coulson and May now, whether she remembers it or not, and potentially any of the other agents that she knocked out if they were awake. Definitely the senators do not know. It sounds like he's in charge of trying to get, you know, good PR, really build up the credentials for S.H.I.E.L.D., and then they're going to go public, you know, like an IPO kind of thing here. And at that point, I'm sure the way that it's going to play out is he will be discovered that he's an Inhuman. And, of course, there will be a number of people that are going to be shocked by that. We've heard preseason that Parminder Nagra is playing a character that is an anti-inhuman politician. So I assume that that's going to be a major source of conflict prior to him revealing himself. And then, of course, once it does get revealed, but hopefully by the time there's a revelation on this, everybody's, you know, they're going to like him. I mean, because he either he's trying to be very likable or he is very likable. I'm not sure exactly.
And the other, you know, the other aspect of this that is probably going to come into play, we saw last week especially how seriously they're taking the Sokovia Accords and registering in humans.
Right.
So, you know, this is the – obviously they're doing that because they don't trust them, right? So is he registered, you know, or what will happen from that when people do start to find out if he's not registered? So, you know, you would – guess that they wouldn't put him in a position of power like that. And like you said, the congressmen probably don't know. So if they knew he was an inhuman.
So are you saying you do or you don't think he's registered?
I don't think he's registered.
Huh. Okay. I would think he's registered just from the fact that if Coulson was in discussions with the president about this,
yep.
I can't really – and, you know, we've seen the president on the show. We're assuming it's the same – the president from Iron Man 3, William Sadler's character. I can't remember the president's name. But I would assume that the president wouldn't want to take that kind of risk.
Well, you mean putting an inhuman
as a director?
Putting
an inhuman in that isn't registered.
Right. I agree with you. Oh, that isn't registered. But see, if you think about it, and I kind of wondered about that too, but if you think about it, when he said to Coulson, you know, you wanted a powered person or something like that, he didn't necessarily say that anybody else knew about it. So Coulson right. might have been key in hand-picking him, but not necessarily revealing that he had powers or that he was an inhuman.
So you think the president the might president. Not even know then?
I think the case. President doesn't even know.
Oh, hmm. Wow,
that's my guess. That's my prediction. It's kind of a risky prediction, but that's what I'm going with.
Okay,
right
now. No, I mean that's cool. And so talking about Inhumans, Daisy comes up with a great plan. I mean, I I'm not really being facetious about that. I think she's taking a lot of risk, but you know, I think she's weighing that, you know, kind of risk reward sort of payoff here. And she confronts Robbie about his alter ego, and says that he, you know, that she's an inhuman just like he is. And he is really confused by that. And he's like, no, I sold my soul. Which is interesting because that contradicts all the stuff that we talked about last week with the way Robbie Reyes has been portrayed in the comics. If you guys recall, Robbie is possessed by the spirit of a dead character named Eli, and that's where he gets his powers from. And Eli is a real bad dude, a serial killer and such. Whereas other ghost writers, Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch, have sold their soul to the Mephisto or a devil character on the show, and that's where they get their spirit from. So it sounds like this ghost writer is. They're doing kind of a blending of the different mythologies for the Ghost Rider, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Taking the stuff that appeals to fans of certain Ghost Riders. I like that, and it might kind of fit in better with the story that they're going to tell.
Mm-hmm.
If it looks like he's on the hunt for something, he's investigating something on his own. We found out this week, right?
Right.
And so having a spirit inside you that you have to fight off might not really fit as well with that kind of a storyline. So,
well, and it may also give us the opportunity to actually see him ride a vehicle, maybe more of a two-wheeled vehicle instead of the Charger at some point, which I think would make a lot of fans happy to see a Ghost Rider astride a you know, some kind of chopper or something like that. So,
you know, strangely enough, that hadn't even occurred to me. I wonder if they will go that route. I don't know.
I think I think, you know, in the same way they finally brought back Shotgun Axe, and again in this episode, Shotgun Axe, you know, it's one of these things that, like, they tease the fans, and it, you know, we don't forget about that kind of stuff. And, you know, the major image that is conjured up when someone says Ghost Rider, for people that know the character, at least up to this point, is, you know, a guy in black leather with a blazing skull on top of a motorcycle. So I'm going to put it down right now that is going to be something that they're going to bring up at some point here this season.
All right.
I think that would be really cool. So we also found out, the producers have been talking about the fact that Doctor Strange is coming, and that they are not necessarily teasing stuff about the show or about the movie, but they are working within the same sphere as that. And we were introduced to a artifact. We didn't see it this episode, but we were told about it, called the Darkhold. And the Darkhold is a magical book. It's actually in the Marvel comics. It's a book of sins, also known as a grimoire. I think about it very much like the what's the name of the book from Evil Dead?
Oh,
that they've got, the Necronomicon.
I was just talking about this too. Yeah.
So it's very much like that. You know, it's a powerful magical object that's got all sorts of badness in it and can obviously do things to people. It looks like it can turn people into ghosts or whatever, you know. And we are wondering, you know, we've got science on one side where, you know, Fitz and Simmons are trying to explain everything about, you know, the box. It's got this weird quantum stuff inside that, like, can hold these non-corporeal,
whatever they are. Yeah.
They're not really non-corporeal because they are able to interact with the environment. They kind of fade in and out of existence, very much like characters that we saw in Agent Carter that were being infected with the Zero Matter or the Dark Force, which is an interdimensional energy, which, of course, Doctor Strange is going to be dealing with the connection, you know, the revelation of magic, which is potentially, you know, science from other dimensions, right? So I'm not sure how that's all going to fit together, but it sounds like they're doing something with it. So
yeah, they've left that open. We're going to be putting those pieces together for a long time, I think, here.
Yeah, I think that's this is kind of the intro of all of this. And yeah, and then, you know, just from now on, they'll be, you know, they can have quote unquote magic or, you know, interdimensional energy and power and all sorts of weird stuff happening and
beautiful shiny space science.
Well, and especially if they're coming up to do the Iron Fist series on Netflix. Iron Fist is a very metaphysical sort of character. I mean, he taps into his chi and can draw energy and power from himself, but there's a magical element to that and to the world of Kun Lun and all that stuff. So I think they're really opening up a great toolbox here for the MCU to use. So what we find out is this lady ghost that we saw last week, she goes back to her house somewhere in Pasadena and realizes that she's been gone for not just days, which it seems like to her, but she's been gone for years. She's been trapped in one of these boxes. So some things that, like I said, they're not really ghosts because they kind of can interact with the world. And it seems like a Ghost Rider knows something about them. At least there was the one that he encountered, I think it was Frederick was the one that he killed. And so, you know, Ghost Rider's actually able to connect with them and not obviously.
Well, and
have
not only that,
problem.
But when he discovered, when Daisy let slip, I guess, what she was investigating.
Oh, the fact that it came from this energy, this energy company, right?
Yeah, yeah. It when she let that slip, it caught his attention, and that's when he went to go look for these people. Well, I got not necessarily the people, but the place, the Momentum
Alternative Energy Lab.
Energy Lab, yeah. Something made him want to go there, and so
the Momentum Energy Lab. That's its name.
So he had he has some background here, and he needed to find something out, but he just went right in and took Frederick out. So
yeah. So last week we've got this company called Cosmogenic Manufacturing, which is where Lucy's box was delivered to. And its symbol is an infinity symbol. And then this week we've got this group called Momentum Alternative Energy Lab. And it's got a couple electrons circling around a nucleus of some kind, which is where there are these five other boxes, which Lucy frees the people.
Let's go with ghosts right now. We don't know what they are, but that's what we're seeing so far. They're presenting them as ghost-like. Plus, it's October now, right? So we can start talking about ghosts.
Right. I feel like this is building up to a Halloween episode, big time. So, everybody has a little bit of difficulty. Like the first guy that comes out, Hugo, his hand isn't quite all there. And then there's Frederick, and he's just really upset with everybody about everything. And then poor Vincent, he has lost the ability to speak. Or at least he can speak. Maybe he can speak, but people can't hear him. And he's very, very frustrated by this.
Yeah. And he's upset that, you know, he's a ghost and he's got all these weird power superstitious things, but he still has to wear glasses. And, you know, I mean, come on.
Do you think
some perks?
Just as an aside, do you think we're going to see Demi Moore?
No, not Demi Moore. She might interact with them, maybe do some pottery or something like that. But I don't know if she'll be one of the ghosts.
Okay. All right. So, like I said, there were five other boxes, but we only saw three other characters. So there's still two potential ghosts that are going to be revealed. Hugo and Lucy are discussing obviously someone trapped them in these boxes years ago while Lucy was trying to do something with the Darkhold. The person that trapped them is years ahead, and I'm assuming that's because if they've been trapped for 3 or 4 or 5 years or whatever, whoever did it to them has moved along. But since it's an alternative energy lab, it seems like they were using this Darkhold to try to tap into some kind of energy power source. Again, very much like the Dark Force or the Zero Matter that we saw in Agent Carter, and also back in the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The Dark Force, if you recall, showed up, I think it was episodes like 18 and 19 of season one. It was the one with there was a scientist working with dark matter or the dark force, and there was an accident and his assistant Marcus Daniels got turned into blackout, and that was the episode where he went after Coulson's old girlfriend Audrey. It was the only light in the darkness. It was episode 19. And so, but he could control the dark force, which is a dark energy that, again, that we saw in Agent Carter, and also something that has been linked to Doctor Strange in the comic books. So there's definitely something going on there.
Okay. Now, I had a couple thoughts surrounding this. So first of all, I will say you never hear of these accidents when people are messing around with solar power. I'm just saying, still a safer alternative energy source. But the other thing, you were talking about how long they had maybe been in there, and she mentioned years. And so it's really hard to say based on what we know right now. But it also seemed as if, Robbie had some connection with them. And I'm guessing that has something to do with him becoming Ghost Rider at some point.
Well, Robbie
Robbie
either has connections or by virtue of having whatever spirit is in him that causes him to become Ghost Rider,
yeah,
he gets knowledge from that, and maybe that character, that demon,
could be, has something
to do with it. Maybe Robbie's just Robbie, right? You know, he's just a guy that works at Canelo's auto and body.
So, but, yeah.
You know, because I don't see him as the kind of guy that's hanging out with a bunch of alternate energy physicists
Pasadena. So I didn't mean that he was like one of the physicists or anything like that. But based on, you know, kind of all that information and connection, it seems to me as if it's maybe been like 2 or 3 years. Now, when she first said that, I thought, well, maybe they've been in there for, you know, like 40 years. Or maybe this is like one of those old experiments like the Nazis were doing, right?
But, right.
I mean, those are all my just immediate thoughts.
That's what I thought, too. I thought they had said something on my first viewing that was like 40 or 50 years, but they don't say anything like that at all.
No, they don't.
Just
and
said
then,
years.
So little things that they do, like his connection. So if Robbie's connected, I don't think he's been Ghost Rider for too terribly long. And plus, you know, you see some other stuff like this picture you're going to talk about a little bit, and it shows that it maybe hasn't been forever. So whoever is this guy that they're after, because he caused this maybe, or with Lucy's help, he's maybe got a few years head start, but he's not going to be like some old Nazi that did experiments on these
guys. And Lucy knew how to use the computer, and they knew how to use the technology in this lab, which it appears that they were familiar with, that they had worked there. So I'm guessing it's kind of a 2 to 3 year sort of deal. It could be 4 years. It could have been when this accident happened that turned Marcus Daniels. I'd have to go back and look at those episodes again, but maybe that has something to do with this. I don't know.
That's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought of that.
Now, you mentioned there was a photo after Ghost Rider kills Frederick. As he's leaving, he notices a photo on the wall, and it's not like we really focus on it, but they gave us a nice close-up of it for a few frames. And that's a really nice thing for the creators to do, because that means we can get a frame grab of it. And I will be posting this up on our Facebook page, so please go look for this after you listen to the episode here. The picture,
they do that on purpose, right? I mean, they didn't have to show a close up. It clearly showed him grabbing it off the wall. So you think they do that just for fans like us that love seeing those little teeny details?
They're teasing it. So right now there can be people like us that are discussing this and getting other people thinking about it, and you know, and to them it's like a little, you know, hidden thing. If someone's just watching the episode, oh, there's a picture went by, but you know, they don't go and freeze frame and look at stuff like this. But we do. So here's what
that's right.
Here's what we can know about this. The picture reminds me very much of the picture from the first season of Heroes. If you recall that, there was this mysterious organization, and we knew there were some, these older characters in the series had worked together, but we didn't realize how many had worked together. And then we saw this photo, and we realized that all these people that don't really seem to have any connection all knew each other previously, and of course, were like the previous generation of the characters that we were following on the show, and it was very fun to watch that unravel. And then we realized what Heroes was really about, and then we said, "This is a piece of crap." but up until that time, kind of the investigation of the photo I thought was really fun. So this particular photo has 8 people in it. 4 in the back and 4 in the back row and 4 in the front row. It's kind of sitting down. They're in the Momentum Alternative Energy Labs like boardroom, because there's a giant logo for Momentum behind them. And they've got, you know, papers all over the desk. And it looks like one of those moments where, you know, they've just kind of discovered something. So, hey, everybody get together. We're going to take a photo of us. And so in the bottom row, we've got Hugo, Lucy, Frederick and Vincent. And I have the pictures of their ghost selves. Now, that leaves 4 people in the background that we don't know who they are. There's 2 men, a man, a woman, a man, and a woman. So 2 men and 2 women. we know that there were two other cubes that were sitting there that weren't open. So we can assume that two of the four people in the back are probably going to show up at some point here. At one point, Lucy, at the beginning of the episode, Lucy is calling for her husband in the house. She calls for Joseph. And then later, when she and Hugo and Vincent and Frederick are all trying to make a plan as to what to do next, she says that she and Hugo are going to go look, or maybe she and Vincent, whoever, she and somebody else are going to go look for Joe. So I'm assuming that that Joe is the same Joseph that she and her husband both were working for this organization. So I'm assuming that the there's one gentleman in the background that is Joe. That leaves these two mysterious women. We don't know who they are. And then there is a very conspicuously tall, smiling guy. He's the other guy in the back row. Very tall, very smiling. And when I pointed him out to you, Josh, who did you say that looked like?
Well, this guy, he looks like Jaime from Get Smart. No, that's not what you mean. He does. He looks like Jeffrey.
He looks a lot like Jeffrey.
And it's hard to tell because, like you said, I mean, it's only for a few frames, so it's not like high definition, right?
Right, and it's blurry.
Man, I tell you, it is – it's pretty darn close. I mean, he's tall. He's got the big pearly whites glistening in that big smile, and he's got that kind of clean-cut businessman look, you know?
I'm going to have to get the first shot we see of Jeffrey when Coulson comes in and the people that he's working with, they kind of part and Jeffrey turns towards camera. He flashes us a big smile like, hey, nice to see you. I got to get a screenshot of that because I think that would match right up. But it's very interesting. You know, oftentimes the A plot and the B plot don't seem to be connected. And then we move four, five, six episodes down the road, and all of a sudden they start merging, and you realize that the B plot we've been following is really the rest of the A plot.
Yeah.
So how interesting if this guy who he might not have been an Inhuman at that point when the picture was taken, but he got exposed, or maybe he's not really Inhuman at all, and maybe his powers are derived from something else.
That could be. That could be. We don't really know what they were working on, so maybe it was something related to that.
Well, and
he's not with them as a ghost. He's not there, right. You know, that whoever it is in this picture.
And there's this he that they keep talking about, and Ghost Rider grabbed the photo because obviously that is leading him to something. So maybe... Okay, here, I'm going to go way out on a limb here. Ghost Rider is an interdimensional bounty hunter, right? So he's come from the other side of from a dimensional barrier and possessed Robbie Reyes because that's how he can exist over here. And he's going around, you know, killing people who have been bad. But he's really over here looking for the people that have, you know, stolen the Darkhold or... you know, taken this energy or done something weird like that.
Yeah. Interesting. And so that's who they're going to be after, I think. I love this theory. I love this idea. So, you know, one thing we didn't also consider is whoever's taking the photo, we don't know where they are too, but I guess we can just assume they probably, you know, put it on a timer or something.
Yeah, put a tripod up and put it on a timer. So, all right. So let us know what you guys think. If you have any ideas, did any of you guys notice anything about the photo? Are you guys going to go back and take a look and watch the episode and go, oh my gosh, there is a photo? So we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. So please reach out to us on that. A couple other things I want to touch on here, just really briefly. So you had a question here about Mac, and we didn't see Yo-Yo again this week, but we talked about her.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mac put two and two together, and I'd have to – oh, man, I'd have to go back and watch that whole part of the show, what he's saying there. But I think he put two and two together that Yo-Yo was helping Daisy get those drugs. And they mentioned that several times that he wasn't sure where all of that medication had gone to. So
I thought that was great that he was able to put that together, that it wasn't one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, he mentions medicine might be missing, or maybe he's just misreading the spreadsheets because he's tired early in the episode. And then later he's like, hey, we've got this medicine that fix your arm. And then he's like, oh, wait a second. Hang on. And he puts it all together and he gets it right. He says that, you know, Yo-Yo is working with Daisy, and it's just really blows his whole idea of who these people that he thought he knew, you know, that they're not who he thought he thought they were.
I don't know, you know, where they were going with him, if they were building that relationship with Yo-Yo with him, but it seemed like they certainly were. And now I think he's going to have some serious issues with that now. Although, you know, I mean, if he keeps himself clear headed, he should be able to move past that if he really likes Yo-Yo. Come on. Come on.
But he's really, really like heartbroken over Daisy.
Whew, man, I tell you what, Fitz is not too happy with her either.
Oh my God. Fitz condemned Daisy. He was kind of really quick to condemn her. What are your thoughts about that? Like why is he more vocally pissed about this?
I almost think because I'm almost straightforward with what he said. They've all gone through losses. They've all had losses, really serious losses. And, you know, they've stuck together. And they've been able to get through these losses because they've stuck together. And she kind of abandoned him. You know, I mean, I think he's got that emotional feeling that people have when someone they know maybe tries to take their own life, or, you know, gets hooked on drugs or something like that, when they feel like, well, we're here for you and you're not taking advantage of us. You know, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating when you really want to help somebody. You go out of your way above and beyond to do something to help someone you love and care for, and yet they don't see it. They just won't accept it.
All right, Turbo, calm down.
I think I see where he's coming from.
Yeah.
I want him to be able to kind of reach out to her, but I think I see where he's coming from.
Yeah. It's because I mean, everybody, you know, kind of stuck there for him, and I think he wants to kind of you know, pay that back a little bit, and, you know, just like you said, it was something that they had been able to stick together through all of this, and now she's left, and as we talked about last week, the whole team's kind of fractured.
Completely. And I just, as a little side note, wouldn't it really be interesting right now to go back and watch Fitz as a character in the early part of season one compared to who he is as a character now?
He's got so many more dimensions to him.
Oh, out of everybody on the show, I think that's the character that has really evolved and changed more than anybody, even Daisy.
My coworker had gotten behind far enough that he basically went back halfway through season one on Netflix and has been watching. And he basically watched the second half of season one, and he's into the beginning of season two. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, you're at the part where like Fitz is like just a bubbling idiot. And he's like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's so horrible to see him like that. So, yeah, I don't know if I want to go through that again. So,
I don't know, there was some fun parts, but
you know. Yeah, there was good stuff there. And then finally, what about May? What is Jeffrey doing with May, since Coulson can't be objective? What's going on there?
Well, who is he with? She looked like she was with people that were just cold-hearted. I mean, obviously they didn't show much of it, but whoever that woman was, just staring at May as she's having these fits. I mean, they don't put her out or anything.
Fits.
No, no, I thought that too. But they don't knock her out. You know, give her some medication so she's calmed down or anything.
Yeah.
They're just staring at her, and it looked like she was on some kind of a plane or something where they were taking her somewhere. So,
well, it was a Quinjet flying by, and she's strapped to, you know, a bench or a gurney or something inside that, as three agents are taking her somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't know, just the way they were so cold towards her, it just,
it made me feel like there was something very suspicious going on there.
Maybe Jeffrey recognizes her symptoms and he needs to get her out of the way, because if she sees him, no, she did see him and we didn't see any reaction and stuff like that. I don't know. But maybe he recognizes her symptoms because of the, you know, if he was in that photo and understands what's going on. I just don't understand how the, Lucy's the only one that we've seen, quote, infect anybody yet. But, like, how does that work? I'm sure we'll get some sort of nebulous reasoning for that. I don't know. Very interesting.
I'm scared for May, man. I'm scared.
Well, she's a riddle that Jeffrey would really like to solve, which I think he may just have been kind of, you know, making a little joke there, but there could be more to it. May's a very strong character, and she does not seem to be kowtowing to the new director in the way that Simmons and Phil is. Well, and pretty much everybody else. I mean, everybody else is kind of, you know, towing the line, and she's being very abrasive about everything, it seems like.
Very, very. But I am very worried for her, because it doesn't seem like this is something that will get better at all. It just continue to get worse. And nobody else knows that she's in any kind of trouble or danger, because
right.
They assume that they're helping her.
Yeah. And that, I mean, they're not really doing any experiments or, you know, any testing on these other people, these other four, the Chinese mafia guys that they've got.
Oh, yeah. So, no, they're not. They're just holding them.
Because that one guy just beat his head against the wall until they gassed him. And, you know, it didn't seem like they were doing too much with him. Anyway.
And yeah. When it happens, you're going to have a bad time. That's
all right. Well, we've got some different references in here. I just wanted to point out some are kind of related to the series, and some are just like pop culture kind of things. At the beginning, when Canelo and Ignacio and Robbie are talking about football, when Robbie shows up at work, Ignacio mentions waiting this long for a team to come to town, and Robbie not wanting to watch the games. The Rams just moved back to Los Angeles from St. Louis, previously the Los Angeles Rams, so they're back where they, in my opinion, belong. I was a big fan of the Rams while I was living out in L.A., so that was cool. But Robbie, he only cares for the silver and black, which, of course, would be the Raiders, which are now back in Oakland, their original city, but were once an L.A. team for a couple decades, I think, or at least 15 to 20 years, something like that, I think. There was talk of a multidimensional event, much like with Tobias Ford. That was a name that was brought up by, I believe it was Simmons. And that refers to the character we saw in season 1, episode 9, Repairs. And there was an explosion at a factory, and this woman kept having weird stuff happen around her, when it turns out that there was a guy that was kind of trapped in between dimensions, and he was acting like a ghost, very much like we saw in this episode. So look at that. Stuff that is inconsequential seeming from way, way back when, still popping up here. Mm-hmm. We got trivia from Phil that Agent Carter built the base in 1949. I no word if she wore a pantsuit or if she just did the work in her skirt and high heels, but you know, she's
probably a little of both, you know.
She's very handy. I do know that. There was a printout from a website, I'm guessing, that was in the in Canelo's office, in the garage office, when Daisy was tied up. And Robbie was going through her belongings, trying to find what she did. It was prominently featured in at least two shots. And it was an article from something called the LA Daily Edge, which I'm guessing is kind of like a news website or something like that. You can barely make it out. But if you enhance the image, you can read the title on it. And I'm just going to leave this here. Mysterious power outages traced to Valley Village woman. Mysterious power outages traced to Valley Village woman. Why don't we just hold off on that? We can discuss more about that on the next episode. How about that?
Yeah, you might be interested in that. All right.
They talk about Steve Rogers being AWOL. He's obviously hanging out in Wakanda right now with the Black Panther after the events of Civil War. And I'm pretty sure that the door locks on Robbie's car are little silver skulls. It really looked like it in the final shot of the episode when Daisy gets in the car. When he swings the door open, it looks like, you know, the little things that pop up and down for your lock.
Well, looks like it's a little like a silver skull. Car guy to add those little details in there, see.
But also the fact that they're skulls. I mean,
yeah, not a very good disguise. Right. Secret identity there if you're going to.
Well, but you know, a lot of people who have custom cars like that, you know, they've got like a skull stick shift or something like that.
Oh, now, yeah, of course. Yeah.
This, we're not living in the world like they are in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where people are spray painting this this Ghost Rider character on a mural on a wall. So, yeah, that might be a little more telling if you're driving the same kind of car that he's driving and you've got little silver skulls on them or something like that. So
maybe you're just a big fan.
Just a fan. That's it.
Yeah, just a big fan of Ghost Rider.
Got it. So, well, Josh, I think that's about all the time we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. We were very chock full of information this week. So we'll have to take a little bit of time off. Unfortunately, the show will not be on next week. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. I was disappointed to find out about this, but then I did remember that there is a vice presidential debate next Tuesday evening on all the major network channels, which is why ABC will be taking the week off. But do join us again. October 11th will be the next episode. So join us on October 13th. 14th, October 14th.
Man, you just see, you whetted my appetite with all these details here, and now I want to keep seeing what happens next, and now I got to wait.
I know. Sorry.
All right. That's fine. Well, hey, you guys, if you enjoyed this episode and this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, hop over there to iTunes and give us a little feedback. We want to hear from you guys. We'd love to hear from you. And you know, if you want to talk to us and tell us about some of these wacky, wild theories, and I really want to know what you guys think about that picture. Check out that picture on our Facebook page. Tell us if you think it looks like Jeffrey. Email us at shield@randomchatter.com, or you can tweet to us at Agents Podcast, or just right on the Facebook page, you can comment at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
You can also check out the other podcasts that Josh and I host, including Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, all via randomchatter.com. Both those shows will be back this weekend with our final summer specials as we get ready for the season premieres of both shows next week. All shows are also available in the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. You can find all of our back catalogs. If you want to go back and listen to us talk about The Only Light in the Darkness or Repairs or anything else, or later this season when you find out that I said some really cool stuff about predictions about Ghost Rider, you can come back to this episode as well. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. We'd love to get more listeners, and it's always exciting to meet new people that are listening to the show. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.